Blog Talk Radio.
Live Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Oh, hey, Sister Evangelist Michelle. Hey, Mother Mitchell. How you doing, Brother Isabel? Hey, listen, y'all. We about to go down to the scoop because I heard that Teacher Teresa Vassar is there and she's about to drop some news on us. So listen, y'all get those kids back there. I'll grab those over there. Apostle Zeta, you tell the elders in the back to come on. We all going down to the stoop and we going to hear a word from my very own Teacher Teresa Vassar. Hey, Sister Vassar, we all here to hear the
knowledge that
you... Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I'm doing fine. Everybody else, I pray, is doing well.
Amen.
You ready for me?
Amen.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. And before I get started, I want to give a special shout-out to the matriarch of our family, who is Sister Shirley Snyder Mitchell. She's the oldest living member of our family. My mother was the oldest, but my mother's been dead like 18, 19 years now. So Aunt Shirley is still the matriarch of this family. And God, I thank you for her, and I ask you to bless her every day.
Yes.
Look out for her. Take care of her. I have an uncle somewhere that's older than me, but I definitely know where my uncle is and know how to contact him or reach him. So with that being said, once we get past Aunt Shirley and Uncle Herman, I'm next in line. I'm the third oldest living member of this family. So y'all pray for me.
Amen.
And keep me in y'all's prayers too, because I'm getting on up there. Girl, I'll be
25
next year.
All right. That is good.
That's all right.
Okay. Tonight's program, I want to talk about several different topics, but they're all related. Want to kind of talk about holidays, or if you're going to call them holidays, or events that are typically geared towards African Americans. Not to say it's only towards African Americans, but predominantly that's who would celebrate them. Like, for instance, Black History Month. Have a whole 28, sometimes 29 in leap year. They couldn't pick they had to pick the shortest month, but at least they gave us that. We have Juneteenth. We have Martin Luther King Day and Kwanzaa. And how many of you listening know anything about these days, and what do you know? So Sister Vassar or Pastor Cook, oh, Lord, I'm talking to myself now, Pastor Cook, you know, please take this time to, because I want this to be a conversation. So could you please take this time to tell anybody that may not know how to please chime in whenever they feel like it. Doesn't have to be me talking and answering questions at the end. I would kind of like to know what people know about it. I've run into, when I say Kwanzaa, they, like, what is that? Nobody really knows what Kwanzaa is. The same kind of response. And I live in a small town of 48,000 people. So, you know, some of your bigger cities, Dallas, St. Louis, Kansas City, and I'm sure cities in California, when I lived out there, they had a big Juneteenth celebration every year. But here where I'm at in the Midwest and smaller towns, I could be speaking Greek and they have no clue. So does anybody that can hear my voice know anything about any of these days that they'd like to share with me or with the rest of us listening?
Well, we're going to make this very easy for our listeners tonight. We're going to operate a little bit differently, but it's going to be easier for you. What I'm about to do is I am going to unmute the mics. Now, if you have something to say, we just ask that you be courteous. Let's not talk over each other. But if you have something to say, please just let it be known, just by saying excuse me, or just chime in with your name and give her your comments, because she wants the comments, and we want to, you know, we want to be obliging, and this is a conversation. So your mics are unmuted. So if you anyone. She just asked us, what do we know about the holidays that she just spoke of? Would anybody like to have a word? Apostle Zeta, Evangelist Michelle, anybody, you're more than welcome to speak. Because I know some. Because I know something about all of them. Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, spend a few minutes to think about it, and we can always come back to that. I don't know where everybody lives. I'm sure some of you live in bigger areas, more metropolitan areas, and they do more things. And then some of us live in smaller areas that they don't do nothing. But hang on a minute. My grandbaby decided she wanted to talk to me. She's four. What do you want, Sunshine Baby? You want a yogurt. Go look in the refrigerator and get you a yogurt. Excuse me, y'all.
That's all right.
Okay. Yeah, that was get one. I'm sorry. So, you know, and when you think about, for those that are familiar with these holidays, I want you to think about decorations, foods, or anything that you can buy that will help you celebrate any of these days more effectively. Black History Month, we have an entire month to celebrate our blackness, our ancestry, what, however you want to say it. And in most of the towns, lovely, stop talking. Oh, now let the kids open that door. In most of the towns that I've lived in, except when I lived in California, you don't see any decorations. You don't see any, pretty much nothing. They don't even put greens on sale, girl. You say the same, get the pound of money for greens.
In March, you do it in February.
Don't do anything. Our city doesn't plan anything. You know, I even live in a city that has HBCU in it. They don't do anything for Black history. Public libraries at one time used to have notables, African-American notables, that would come in and at the public library and do a talk or a poem, poetry. Now, I know in this time of COVID-19, it's not a good idea to have these social gatherings, but, honey, it wasn't like they did much before COVID-19. So that's the excuse they give.
Amen. Tell it now.
They have troops come in and perform, or, you know, they used to at least give us a little bit of honor or recognition anyway. But now after COVID, of course, they don't do anything. Martin Luther King Day, they usually had somebody talk to somewhere, usually up at the college, the HBCU that's here in town. But, you know, one day, and that was pretty much it. They used to have a big dinner. You know, you paid for tickets to come to this breakfast, I think it was, brunch. And, but, you know, just like, you know, a couple hours, and that was it. Juneteenth. Schools and universities do not educate our children about this day and what it means. It's just kind of, most of the schools here where I'm at don't even mention it. Nothing. And then my personal favorite is Kwanzaa. And that's the one I really want to especially talk to you about and get some feedback from you, hopefully, and some ideas. I don't know what you know about Kwanzaa, but it's based on 7 principles. I'm sure I'm going to kill this man's name, but a Dr. Milana Karinga was an American, but he placed into existence in 1965 Kwanzaa as a way of empowering African American communities in the aftermath of the Watts riots. You know, he saw what was going on, and we were just really, I guess this man decided there needed to be some kind of uplifting celebration to try to get through this. And what I really want to emphasize is Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. You know, I've had a couple people that act like they know something about it, call it, they equate it with, oh, you're taking God out of a holiday and call it a pagan holiday. Well, for anybody that knows, all of our American holidays are pagan. If you really want to dig deep into their origins, they're all pagans. You know, they're not based in biblical truths at all. And Kwanzaa is a way for predominantly African Americans to celebrate their heritage and culture. A heritage and culture we were not allowed to keep once brought here to the New World. There's a lot, just a multitude of information online about Kwanzaa. And I would ask that any of you ladies and gentlemen that are listening will do some research, because I could be on here all night just talking about some of the various things that deal with Kwanzaa and how to celebrate it and what it means to live by. And just like with Christmas, decorations and window dressing isn't required, but it would be just like celebrating Christmas without the trappings. So, yes, there are particular items that you can buy or purchase to help get you in the spirit of Kwanzaa. There are several really important decorations involved. The kinara, the 7 candelabra that holds 7 candles, 1 black, 3 red, and 3 green. The black one's in the middle, and that state represents the black people, the African-American people. The red ones signify the struggles we've had to endure and been through, and the green one signifies hope for a better future. You know, all my kids are going to decide they want to call me now. But, you know, so there's a lot of, we'll talk about the decoration stuff. That's kind of immaterial in one respect. But what I really want to talk about was the seven principles of Kwanzaa, and they're good principles, things to live by. I'm not going to try to butcher the African-American terms, the Swahili terms, I'm sorry. I'm just going to give you the American terms. The first one, Shalene, this Pastor Cook, if you would like to come in with the Africa, the Swahili terms, you feel free. I'm going to give you the English terms because I can't pronounce the mother ones too good. But the first one, Kwanzaa, is 7 days long, from December the 26th, it goes through until January the 1st. The first day, you're supposed to you get together with family, and the first principle is unity. And that's to strive for and maintain unity in the family, in the community, and in the nation and the race. Well, you know, we might can get it in the family, but I mean right now at this point in time in history, unity in the race and in the nation is pretty much, it's not gone forever, but it's pretty much, you know, out there. That's an idea that has pretty much gotten lost in all the ways of the world. But the first principle is unity. And that's for husbands, you know, and wives and children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles to love one another and try to, you know, call and check on my aunt because that's my aunt. That's my mama's sister. She's getting older in life. You know, just don't throw her away and think, oh, I'll call her next week and then next week and next week. But keep your family close. Or unity in the communities. You know, instead of our brothers and sisters out there shooting and killing each other, you know, try to find better ways to deal with situations. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to like everybody in the African-American community. I don't. I don't. But I don't like everybody in white communities either. But try to find better ways to approach your brothers and sisters instead of always tearing them down and knocking them down or actually sometimes going to the point of actually taking their lives away from them. And that's, you know, if we could get to any of this, start trying to get back to this. We had that. You know, it wasn't always perfect the way we had it, but we were closer to that than we are now. We've come so far away from any kind of unity in the black communities. But we need to try to figure out how to get back to that. And I can't change the world as a whole, but I can start trying to change it within my family and in my little community, even if there's nothing but this predominantly black apartment complex that I stay in. You know, if I can try to keep the peace here and be people, a lot of them here call me grandma too. I don't know their names. Don't tell them that. They think I do, but I don't even know their names.
That's all right. Amen.
Yeah.
That's one of the most important principles of Kwanzaa to me is unity.
Yeah.
And I think it's pronounced Umoja. I'm not sure on that one.
That's right.
Okay. The second principle of Kwanzaa is self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. You know, I don't need Big Brother to speak for me. I can tell you anything that I need to tell you. I don't need, if we got a problem, I don't need to call Perry Mason to come in and speak for me. I can come to you and say, Pastor Cook, you know, we have a problem. Can we sit down and talk about this? I don't need to walk around mad for 6 months because I don't want to talk to you because my lawyer won't be available. I'm a grown woman. You're a grown woman. My self-determination, I'm going to resolve this for me and by me. I don't need outside influence coming in because sometimes outside influences create more problems than they help. So remember that you have a voice. Use it. And don't always be ready to use it for cursing and yelling and screaming and fussing at somebody. Ask somebody, can we sit down and talk about this? You know, I don't need a mediator. You know, we've been family and or we've been neighbors for years. I don't need to bring the police in while we screaming and hollering at each other. We can do this ourselves, and I'm going to have the self-determination to try that, and I'm going to put my faith in the Lord that if maybe who I'm trying to speak with or have a discussion with, they may be one of the ones that just soon pull out a gun and shoot me, but if that's the Lord's call, then so be it, but I'm going to try to do it the right way.
Amen.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce that one. Would you like to take that one, Lee? That's that long word in Swahili. Kuchicha Guglia. I'm not sure how you pronounce that one. Third principle of Kwanzaa, to maintain and build our own communities together, to make our brothers and sisters' problem our problem, and to try to solve them together. And where I live at is a perfect example. If I stay in a 65-unit apartment complex, most of it is predominantly African-American. You know, we have of the 65 units, probably 60 of them are hard-working, decent people, but you have 5% that take their garbage out there and throw it all over the parking lot, their beer cans, their cigarette butts. But, you know, we want to try to talk to them, and I'll make this problem your problem. You're a young woman that's got a bunch of kids. You might not have time to get out there, and you send your 8-year-old to this big dumpster. He probably can't even reach far enough up in there to get the garbage in the garbage can, like a dumpster. So if I'm out there walking, or you out there walking, or one of my kids or grandkids are out there walking, don't just look at them and say, well, ain't my problem, I, you know, because it's our homes. I don't own this place, but my friends are coming here, not the landlord. So we want to try to work together to solve problems. You know, what can we do about, I'm going, you know, this young sister over here, she's got 5 kids, she's 24 years old. She's cussing and screaming all the time, mostly because the woman is tired. I'm going to go over there and ask, can I watch the kids while you take an hour? If you don't even leave home, go get you a cow guy, take you away or whatever. But, you know, we need to start trying to help each other more instead of just, and Pastor Cook and I have talked about this on different programs. Don't condemn these young mothers because they have these children. Yeah, well, biblically speaking, they shouldn't have had them without the benefit of marriage, but there's a whole lot of things that go on that's not quite scripturally right.
They're here now.
And as far as her being, if you want to use that word, promiscuous, that's between her and God. I can't judge, and I'm not going to judge her. And you got to stand before your maker one day and explain to him why you got all these kids that you didn't maybe always do right by. You ain't got to explain that to me. I'm here to help you out if I can. And that's all my responsibility is. Now, what you have to answer for come judgment day, that's on you and the Lord.
That's on you, amen.
Mm-hmm. Then we have, and a lot of these principles, are, you got to remember that these principles were written in 1965. So, you know, it's a kind of a collection of, would you stop? Different, speaking of cooperation. A lot of different things, like to me, different principles and ideals. Some of them we heard them before. The Panthers talked about cooperative economics. Malcolm X talked about cooperative economics. Maybe not, that might not have been the exact term that he used, but all it is to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and get profit from them together. And what they mean by profit from them together, well, if I own a business, obviously I'm not going to hand over half my profits to you, but I'm going to do business in an ethical way. I'm going to give you the best quality for the best price. That's how we both profit. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Now, we don't have a lot of black businesses, especially here where I'm at in Missouri. We don't have a lot of black-owned businesses and stuff like that. And too many times when we do, other blacks will go to anywhere in the world can go to a black-owned business, and we have to stop that. That's so wrong. If they're
giving
the same service as a white store, then that's where we need to go. And then for the black business owners, give the same service. You know, give the same service. I remember back, oh, my goodness, 25 years ago, I bought a new VCR. And if something went wrong with it, and obviously I'm no VCR technician, so I had no idea what was wrong with it. And a new shop had opened up in Hayward, California, black-owned. I took my VCR to this man. He had it 2 weeks and couldn't tell me what was wrong with it. Oh, he gave me some wild story about a roach that got down in it, and that probably what stopped that big silver thing from turning. Anyway, I had never seen no bionic roaches in my apartment, so, you know, But anyway, so I took my VCR back, and, you know, at this point, I tried to do it the right way, took it to a white shop, the clutch it went out in. Apparently, these VCRs have a clutch, just like a car, you know, and that's what had went out. The man told me the next day, come and get my VCR, he fixed the clutch. And that was a white business. It was 2 weeks and hadn't fixed nothing. So that's what they say, we both could profit. Black businesses give good service to everybody, everybody, but especially your own. And, you know, if you do that, then you would have more people, black people, white people, any race of people. If you do good business and you're doing good business and honest business and fair prices and good work, everybody would come to you. But, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, you know, nobody wants to do business with you. Okay, the fourth principle of Kwanzaa is purpose. And purpose, as Dr. Karenga describes, is to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Anybody got any questions about what that means? Okay. Because we weren't always the people that you may see now. We did have pride. We had beautiful afros, and our dashiki was really something that we meant. It just wasn't some shirt that you put on to pretend like you're black. You don't have to put on a dashiki. Anybody that looks at me knows I'm black, whether I got on a dashiki or not. But we walked with our heads up, and we were a proud people, even though life had dealt us some of the worst hands that you could imagine. But we were proud of who we were, as we should be. For all the things that we have endured in this country, we're still here, as the Williams brothers say. I'm still here.
Hallelujah.
And that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
We have taken your best shot. You raped, killed, imprisoned us, and we're still standing. Hold your head up, black people. You got reason to be proud. You still stand.
Amen.
And we've been through some stuff. But oh, not that we're the only ones, the American Indians, the Jewish people in Egypt, in prison in Egypt. But, you know, I can't deal with that. That's their culture to deal with. I can only deal with mine.
Yeah.
But somewhere down the line, we started walking around figuratively with our heads down, you know, just, you know, using the N-word everywhere you go, shirts cut down to the belly button in front and up to the butt cheeks in the back, eyelashes longer than your skirt. You know, that's no sense of pride in anything anymore. And we have to talk to our young people and try to get that some of that back in place. I understand dress codes have changed over the years, but it's never been part of my dress code to walk around half naked.
That's right.
Taking the race on, because what man is going to marry and have children with a woman that everybody in the neighborhood and the whole town has seen all the business? There's nothing special for him.
Yeah,
because everybody looks at that. He ain't seeing nothing everybody else ain't looked at. So we have to have a purpose. And I know sometimes people tend to get scared. You don't think my mama and my insurance were scared out there on those picket lines in Carroll? You don't think Dr. King was scared or trepidatious, maybe. Maybe scared is not a good word, because they knew somebody may try to kill them or hurt them. So, you know, sometimes when you see certain things, you have to address it. Address it in love and Christian and understanding and Christian love.
Yeah.
Make that my purpose. This child is, you know, I can't stop her from doing what she wants to do. But just in case she thinks that's cute, I'm going to tell her with much love, honey, your business all
hanging out here. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. That's
right. Have more pride in yourself. Now, she may haul off and slug me in the jaw, and I'm going to tell her, God forgives you, and I do too. But no matter how you hit me or didn't hit me, that dress is still too short. But okay.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, we've just gotten to be where we want everything easy. If it's not easy, we just shake our head and talk about it behind their back. And, you know, and I mean, some of them know what they look like. I'm sure some of them don't realize that's exactly what they look like when they get up in the morning and get dressed. I work on a college campus, so I see a lot of. And, you know, I have some that I talk to and, you know, tell them, you know, just because they make spandex in your size don't necessarily mean.
Don't mean you're supposed to wear it.
That's right.
Jesus.
But, you know, I have enough grandchildren and nieces, and I have 23 grandchildren. I have 7 great-grandchildren. I can't even count all the nieces and nephews that I have. that if I just talk to my family members, talk to my nieces about how you guys present yourself to the world, maybe if that gets to them, then they talk to my great nieces about it. I actually have a couple of great great nieces right now, and that's how I get to move on. Sixth principle is creativity. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, and I guess that's probably one of the ones that we really adhere to. You know, we have some fantastic artists, poets, musicians, athletes.
Yes.
You know, we've kept creativity. I mean, maybe that's because that's the one thing that they felt was least harmful, so they've let us have that. You know, once they couldn't stop us from learning to read and write, they pretty much let us continue to be creative, and we are. And if you think I'm lying, get one of them people that tell lies. Some of them stories they tell you. I had a boyfriend got abducted by aliens years ago. And, honey, he told that story for 45 minutes.
Well,
I was mad because I didn't really think he had got abducted by aliens. But, creativity. And whatever you do, you know, the artwork, you know, creating something. If you want to cook and be not necessarily a chef, but, you know, when you fix a meal, please get rid of ramen noodles in the microwaves.
Praise them. Girl, help the children. Teach now.
If I have to sit with them, you know, everybody ain't cut out to be artists or
well.
Poets. But when you say creativity, now, you know, and I'm sure, I don't know some of the women on here, but I know that y'all know, ain't nobody more creative on a dime and in the kitchen than a black woman with a bunch of kids, or two kids, or three kids.
Speak the truth,
right?
Now.
Make the meals out of nothing. Make
the
meals out of
nothing.
We didn't have no ramen noodles. Didn't know what no ramen noodles was, girl.
Hey. Well.
So that's creativity. You can sit down and feed your kids a pretty well-balanced meal with the pennies you got to buy food with, and you ain't slapped a bowl of ramen noodles up in front of them. That's creativity.
Use that.
And
amen.
Pass it on to other young mothers that might need that information. Okay?
Come on now.
And then, of course, our last principle of Kwanzaa is faith.
Yes.
And that's to believe with all of our hearts in our people. Even when you see them doing bad things, understand, have faith that they can turn that around, because they can.
Yes.
They can. Our parents, have faith in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and the victory of our struggle, and as always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in some respects, that's one of the hardest ones to keep. Community leaders, teachers. Ooh, let's not talk about our leaders. I'm not even going to go there.
No, don't go there.
That's the hardest one. Now, our parents, both my parents are, you know, gone now, but I have an aunt that was there for me when I was coming up. She's still here, thank God. I got cousins, sisters and brothers, and we are right in our struggle for those of us who still struggle with it. We are right. We're not wrong. We should know how to read. And, you know, these days right now, because I have grandkids in school, they can't tell if they're going to whip us if they catch us reading. But they put us in schools, and they make sure that we don't learn to read. I've got two kids, 14 years old, that can barely read. They went through the school system from kindergarten to fifth grade when I got them. And I was shocked because they couldn't read. I said, what are they teaching you at that school? You can't read. Hey, so they still working on it. They just not as open, they more covert about it now. They do it undercover. But we have to believe reading is our right, and we have to read because that's the biggest way of passing on knowledge.
That's right.
So, now, since nobody wants to talk but me.
I'm just waiting.
I would like to say something.
Okay.
Well, just a second, like because of that. Okay, wait a minute, Mother Mitchell. Hold on. Because while Teacher Vassar was talking, I just want people to understand that every principle that she just went through has is backed by Scripture. Lots of them. When we talk about unity, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 12 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. So what he's saying, what she's saying, this scripture says, we got to be unified. She said the second principle was self-determination. Well, the word of God says in Romans 12, 11 and 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Also, it tells us in 2 Chronicles 10 and 17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. The Word of God talks about community. In Psalms 133, 1 through 3, it says, see how good and how pleasing it is for brothers to live together as one. It is like oil of great worth poured on the head, flowing down through the hair on the face, even the face of Aaron, and flowing down to his coat. It is like the morning water of Hermon coming down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has given the gift of life that lasts forever. She talked about cooperative economics. In Luke 6:38, it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. Our sister said, when she talked to us, she told us about purpose. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. She talked to us about creativity, the principle of creativity. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And, of course, we all know about that seven principle faith. Because we will go straight to Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then we will jump down to the same verse, into verse 9 in the same chapter, because we know without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. So although this is not, Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. It is not a spiritual holiday. It is steeped, its principles are steeped in the Word of God. Now, Mother Mitchell, we will go to you, and I'm just going to go through the house and address you each one, and you can share your comments. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right, Mother Mitchell, we'll start with you, and then we'll go on down to Evangelist Michelle. Amen.
Well, I love every one of the Kwanzaa principles because they all are very fitting. But the one that I wanted to add a little bit to was the one for a purpose and restoring our people to their original, to what we were originally. And it wasn't the slave that they, we are being restored to. We were queens and kings in our own African land, on our own soil. They came in, bought us out from under our own people, put us in the bottom of slave ships, and brought us to be slaves for their purpose. We were not slaves in our own country. We were not slaves there. We were African queens and kings. And that's what they took and bowed us and broke us and made us to be slaves. That was not where we came from at all. But, you know, that's our history. But the slave master has a history as well. And until the day comes that we can do the education that's needed with the slave master, who is our white counterparts today, most, a lot of them, they need to understand that they are masters of nothing anymore. and the
authority
that they think they have, they even abuse that to keep us down. And as my niece said, you know, we have come through the fire and the flood, the wind and the rain and the storm.
Amen.
And if I was white people, I would want to give that some serious thought, because we're still here. We're still
here. Amen. Thank you.
And
amen.
I tell people, if you think I was rough on you, see the three that I raised, because I taught them to be rough. I taught them.
But
I'm
making a rebuttal here. Can I bring that before you ask the next person to speak?
I told them to not do that.
Thank you, Mother Mitchell.
Amen. To me, that's
amen.
What I wanted for my children, to know they
amen.
Were worth something and they amounted to something.
Thank
so
you.
But can I make a quick rebuttal right here? Can I make a quick rebuttal right here? See, the problem is they never broke us. They bent us.
Yeah.
They didn't break us, because there's a lot of us. A lot.
Amen.
Atlanta, as the baby boomer generation dies out and some of the older of us die out, these young people, they broke them because they don't know anything else. They didn't break you, Rachel. They didn't break me. They bent us. They bent us, and they made it hard for us. But just because of something is hard don't mean that you don't do it and just change over and be just anything.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's possible to us be.
Amen.
Okay,
let's keep order.
But, you know, that's
amen.
What makes them so afraid of us. If they had done, if we had done to them what they did to us, I would tell somebody, you need to be very afraid. You do.
Yes, amen.
We want to love you, and we did. Even when they were selling our babies away, we still love the slave master.
Amen.
But
thank
you.
All right. Evangelist Michelle, we're going to hear from you now. Let us mind the time. So, Evangelist Michelle, let us hear from you.
I just wanted to thank the speaker, Sister Vassar. And one thing you spoke about was, like, you know, being there for, like, the people in your community. And when she spoke about, like, the kids and the trash, I'm a firm believer on that, because we're dealing with that right now. And instead of, you know, being upset a lot, you have to teach the kids and teach the parents, especially if they are younger parents, because we went through that, and it was kind of personal, because my grandkids had got a rash from the trash because it was right at my door, and my grandkids touched it. The parents weren't really doing anything, so then it was our turn to try to reach out and educate the children. Another thing we must do, we have to assure that the kids, like I said, are well educated in their history, you know, and that plaza and the past and things, that is their history. And I'm so thankful for my husband's his aunt, his mother's sister, Nancisi, and she was a professor out in San Francisco, and she did she was like an ambassador over in Africa. She was so well known out there. And I'm telling you, she made sure that each and every one of the grandkids, the great grandkids, knew about their heritage. That's something that has gotten away from the African American family. Why can't we be proud of our heritage? Everybody else is proud of their heritage. We used to say we're black and we're proud. Why can't we still say that now? You know, it's nothing wrong to be black and proud, and to be proud of Kwanzaa, and to be proud of who you are and your heritage. So I'm thankful for these principles. Some of them I knew, and some of them I had forgotten about. So I thank you, Sister Vassar, for, you know, re-enlightening me on the seven principles. God bless you, and may he bless everything
you
touch.
Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Evangelist. Okay, we're going to go to Brother Isbell. Would you like to have a word?
Okay, quickly, I'll try to. I think Mother Mitchell touched on it some about the civilizations of ancient Africa were enlightened, great civilizations. And our and my Caucasian relatives were living in caves in Eastern and Western Europe and hadn't even figured out power yet. Black pride, black nationalism is most definitely needed. The American, African American has had a long, hard struggle, continues to have a long, hard struggle. But I hope that you understand, as with the Montgomery demonstrations back in the 60s, it was not only a demonstration of racial inequality, but it was a demonstration of economic power that African Americans can affect a change. And they most certainly did in Montgomery, Alabama. And it can continue if you stick together and show the pride that you have as a people. I so respect you, and I'm so glad that I have so many wonderful African American friends. May God bless you all. Thank you.
We love
amen.
You too, Uncle Bill.
You.
Amen.
Thank you, Uncle Bill. Okay, amen. Apostle Zeta Flowers, come on in the room, dear.
All right. One second. All right, I'm here.
All right.
That was very interesting, and all of these topics have some meaning for me. Kwanzaa, Black History, and Juneteenth as well. I know it was more of a focus on Kwanzaa tonight. I have a sister and brother-in-law and their family. They celebrate Kwanzaa every single year, and so I have been on occasions attended as well, and attended other places as well here in Oakland. And it's very meaningful. The principles are definitely very meaningful. We have a couple of those names in our family. One is Nia, which means purpose, and the other one is faith in the in the Swahili name. But anyway, it's been very meaningful to me, and I like what all of the what the audience have spoken, the different ones shared about it. And the speaker, she brought up some really great points. And
amen.
Even the N-word and how, that is spoken too freely and, too openly, and it's disrespectful. And I'm not saying just the hearers, but it's disrespectful to us as also in our own church.
Yes, yes.
I like what you brought out about the dress code.
Amen.
Dressing ourselves, not walking out naked, almost naked. That's a disgrace. And we need to look at these situations in our race of people. We need to work hard to make a change in that.
Because that is not
becoming. Not definitely not.
No,
becoming.
It's not.
No.
Could you imagine?
Well,
I
appreciate what I heard about the creativity. Some of the things that she brought out. Was like I remember her talking about the daishiki and kind of in the beginning. I remember when we used to wear those and we enjoyed wearing them and we liked what they stood for. And I did a funeral about 7 years ago. One of my cousins, he loved wearing them all the time, and so I talked to his mother about him actually wearing one, when we did the home going. Because she knew he would have been pleased, with the being
wrong. Amen.
So I thought about that. So in talking about it, it's just brought back some memories for me. I haven't been to a Kwanzaa celebration in quite a little while now. But I liked how they did when they lit the candles and how they explained everything to us.
Yes.
The food, healthy food, that was really good too. And talked about our responsibilities,
yes.
as people.
Yes.
determination. That
yes,
was
amen.
That was really brought out. And self-determination.
Yes, it was. Amen.
You know, again, community and
yes.
you know, the Black women's place, you know, their real place.
Yes.
You know, not to be I'll just say abused. You know, and all
right.
of that, but
amen.
Really has a rightful place, you know.
Yes, we do.
And,
amen. Amen.
That's not it. I won't get off into that. I would like to.
Thank you.
But I was also hearing what Evangelist Scott was saying, and it was just so, the thing that she brought out was just so beautiful. And
yes,
you as well,
yes.
Bishop. But she, one of the things she was saying is that we need to be proud of our heritage, and you
yes,
know what we
do.
Really do. And I remember very well the Black and I'm Proud because I remember saying it myself.
Yes.
And
yep.
we used to actually chant it.
Yes.
Well, I want to share this a little bit. I have a nephew that's very, very involved in his Blackness. He definitely is not prejudiced by no means. He actually graduated from Santa Barbara University, so he, you know, he's not prejudiced at all. But he established a business called I Love Being Black. And so that's what many of us are saying now, is I love
yes.
being Black. And not
yes.
only are we
yes.
saying it, but it's in the shirts that we wear.
Amen.
I have one on today. Wasn't even thinking about in reference to tonight, but I have on my shirt right now, and it says,
hallelujah.
I love being Black.
Thank you.
It's a long sleeve thermal, and I actually have a little hat that goes with it that says, I love being Black.
Amen.
So, you
Amen.
Know,
Thank
some
you.
Some of us are doing it. Some of us are being proud of our heritage. And we're not ashamed to let it be known either. So
those
are some of the things that really, you know, I love the names, the seven principles. I love all of those names. I used to actually know them. I don't anymore. And so I'm going to enlighten myself a little bit more about it.
Right.
But
amen. That's what
year,
we want you all to
I
do.
Was going
to
celebrate the Juneteenth in my backyard, I thought. But due to the COVID, I wasn't able to do it. But I'm going to stop.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right.
Pastor Cook, hang on just a second. Let me, before I forget, I just want to interject something in here right quick if it's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Now, I'm just, you know, and A. Shirley knows I am who I am, and I'm not talking about anybody in particular. But, you know, where I live at, every now and then I see a Black child with a dashiki on and using the N-word and cussing and calling young ladies names. I don't care what you wear. Black ain't what you put on. Black and African-American
Amen.
Is what you have on the inside. And that's
Amen.
What my is. And no offense to anybody, because I'm lacking too. You know, Kwanzaa's been around since I was 6 years old. And I'm just now getting to where I'm interested enough to even figure out what it is and what it entails and know anything about it. But I can't take on this and do it this year, and I'm done with it. If you
That's
knew
right.
what the seven principles of Kwanzaa was, live them every single day.
Every day,
days.
Yes,
amen,
amen.
Don't you get that salvation, not salvation, but don't get that for yourself
yeah.
and leave a generation of people out there that don't know it. Maybe you can talk to
That's
some of them.
Right.
Some of them are listening. But we have to move this on. We can't expect
That's all right.
America to do it. They don't teach it in the schools. They don't even talk about it in the schools.
That's right.
Black people have
That's
to stop relying on white people to uplift us and move our heritage along. Because they took it from us.
We have
they
to do it.
We'll
we say that. Amen. Amen.
We have
okay.
more means now than we ever have. We got the internet. There's nothing you can't research on the internet. Now you got to go
Amen.
Through there and figure out what you're being told is right. Go pick and choose. Don't go to one site and hold
right.
that is done. But you know we
Quite
have
reference.
To. We have to take on the responsibility of uplifting our people. Because white people
Amen.
Have been generations. Now, so why would we think they're going to lift us up?
That's right.
They're
Amen.
Help us
Thank you.
The heritage
say
they
that.
Took away from
say
it.
That. Say that. Okay, we have some more people in the room.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You.
I just get passionate
oh,
about
no.
this one.
Oh, it's okay. No, no, we having a conversation, like you said, but we just want to be, you know, we just always have to remember when they. Yeah, so I'm going to give, I have a young lady, 573, last four digits, 1566. Would you like to have a word? Okay, see, I want everybody to speak up in here that wants to speak. And now, so, and listen, there's a lot of us up in here tonight. There's still time for you to add your voice to this conversation because the teacher Vassar wants to hear from you because we are getting the scoop from the stoop on Kwanzaa. Now, this is one thing I want to bring up because when teacher Vassar told me this, you know, it really, it just speaks to her point about them not lifting us up. You know, when it comes to the holidays and stuff, you can go into a dollar store
Don't do it. I got a whole paper on this one.
Yeah, you know, but then she say she can get all kind of Hanukkah stuff and Christmas stuff for a dollar. She went to get something for Kwanzaa. They wanted $14 for 8 plates.
Paper plates.
Now, what is a real plate?
Was somebody else needing to speak? Because that's the second part of what I did want to talk about.
Oh.
Trying to go along with. I think Sister Flowers.
Okay, well, you have
Zeta.
About 10 minutes. Okay, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, this was the first year. I'll talk fast, and I planned my first Kwanzaa. Now, I live in a city of about 48,000 people. We have 2 Walmart Supercenters, a Hobby Lobby, a HBCU, a historically black community college and university, for anybody that may not know. Columbia, Missouri is 32 miles away. They have an approximate population of 300,000. 2 Walmarts, Hobby Lobbies, Michael's, Party City. I could not buy 1 decoration locally. Everything I had to get for Kwanzaa had to be ordered. Now, we know that decorations are displayed as early as the middle of November for Christmas. Elves, trees, fat man in a red suit. In March, you can walk through the doors of retail giant Walmart, and there's this big, massive display of St. Patrick's Day stuff. Everything is green. Pictures of leprechauns, corned beef and cabbage are on sale. They even celebrate Cinco de Mayo here. May the 5th. These same stores sell items to celebrate the Mexican holiday, Hanukkah. You can buy menorahs, gefilte fish, kosher foods, matzo balls, bagels and lox. Independence Day, well, I'm sure everybody knows how much effort goes into decorations for that. Various cities put on these big firework displays. Hundreds of barbecue pits are sold. Millions of cows are slaughtered just for the ribs alone. And Independence Day means nothing or should mean nothing to black Americans. That was the day the United States, which was called the United States then, declared their independence from England. Our troubles were just getting ready to get started. Because now you got this nation that got all this land after they took it from the Indians. They got nobody to work it. So now American Independence Day, which I'm not saying these holidays shouldn't be celebrated. They mean something to the various nationalities they commemorate. I'm not knocking the fact that they are celebrated. I'm just saying that once again, black Americans are kind of swept under the rug like, you know, we're the crazy aunt in the basement or somewhere, a crazy cousin or crazy myself in the basement that the family don't want nobody to see. And that's all I'm saying. If you're Mexican, please celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I'll get out there and celebrate it with you. I have nothing against St. Patrick's Day. I mean, you know, I'm kind of short, a little bit taller than a leprechaun, but short. So I have nothing against any of these holidays. So just give us the same floor space. Everything I order from Kwanzaa has to be ordered. Walmart had a menorah for Hanukkah, $13. Basically the same candelabra that had 2 less candle spaces on it than the menorah, which is called a menorah, cost me $44. And this was a relatively expensive one. They get up into the hundreds. Girl, you couldn't even buy candles unless you wanted white, yellow, pink, orange, but you know, I just needed black, red, and green. You can't even buy candles. The only reason I was able to get the red and the green was because it's Christmas time. And like Bishop Cook said, I looked at some paper plates to do, to set up my table and stuff. 8 paper plates, the same paper plates you go to the Dollar Tree and get 16 of them for a dollar for a birthday party, but they're decorated. They wanted $14.99 to order those.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, more blessed than some people because I can sew and I'm crafty. I made my own flag for Kwanzaa, and after the 26th, please look online. You'll see a picture of my flag. I made my own mat to set my canora on. I don't do woodworking, so I wasn't going to cut no fingers off, but I made a lot of this stuff, my own decorations myself, because I can't afford to buy Haven Spices for the window dressing. Okay.
Amen.
And that's but the biggest part of this, and I'm gonna speak fast, I'm talking fast, I know, but what we're doing here is most of my family is in the Missouri up this way, you know, I have and my aunt is in Texas, but what I'm doing this year, my mama's gone. My dad's gone, my grandmother's gone, my grandfather's gone. And Shirley's probably the only one that really remembers her mom and dad really well. I'm compiling a list or a book. I'm not photo albums and a book of family trees, and I'm trying to give as much information about our family as I can in these books so that it can be passed on. Because basically, once Aunt Shirley leaves this world, there's not really a whole lot of people left that knows anything really about her father. I know Grandma, but her father is just going to be something that goes away.
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen.
If and when I don't get this together, when my aunt leaves here, you know, me and her daughter and her sons pass away. There won't be nobody to remember my Aunt Shirley, a wonderful woman that deserves to be remembered. Some great nieces and nephews 20 years from now need to be able to flip through this book and read something about my Aunt Shirley.
Amen.
Bless your heart.
And that's what we love.
Bless you,
cuz.
Bless you.
So hard for to put this together and have some written record. We all can't be Alex Haley. I don't know how to get back to Africa and find where we started from. But I can go back this far, and I would like a written record, and I'm going to put that together over this next year of life lasting and death passing. Somewhere 10 years, 20 years from now, there's a written record of what of my family that I knew too. Because if I don't do it, there'll come a day when nieces, nephews, great won't even know who I am.
Amen.
And I don't want
all
them.
Right.
I want them to be able to know. So if anybody else
that's
has
right.
to, like to say anything, and that's one more quick footnote, and that's as a people is where our strength is, economics. You know, I go out to Walmart by myself, tell them, you guys need to order to Hobby Lobby, you need to order something for Kwanzaa. They ain't going to listen to me. But now if 150 blacks go out there and say, well, look, we need this. They agree. They ain't going to give up no money if they don't have to.
Amen.
But, you know, we can't win a fight with guns and rocks and bricks. We make a difference with dollars. Because I stopped shopping at Walmart. They don't care. That ain't enough difference to make no difference. But, you know, 500 people stop shopping, people of color stop shopping at Walmart. They may not go bankrupt, but they'll feel the crunch. That has always been our strength, just like the Missouri boycott. It took a year before they.
Amen.
That's where our strength is at in economics.
Amen. Well, we have heard a wonderful, we've had a wonderful, wonderful discussion. We have had a good time down here on the stoop with Teacher Vassar on tonight. And Teacher Vassar, we just want to say we appreciate you for coming out and just coming on down to the stoop and enlightening us about Kwanzaa and just about the holidays period, you know, and I just love all the Spirit Alive family that came out. I want to thank Apostle Zeta and Evangelist Michelle. I want to thank Brother Bill Isabel. We want to just thank all of you that spoke. I want to thank my mother, Mother Mitchell, the mother of the church. We want to thank her for coming out tonight. And if you have any questions or you think of any questions, please feel free to inbox me and I will get those questions to Teacher Vassar. Or you can look her up on Facebook. Amen. So we just praise God for all that we have heard tonight. We would like for you to go out and research Kwanzaa for yourself, celebrate Kwanzaa for yourself, live Kwanzaa for yourself, because as you see, every one of those principles, you can find them in the Bible. The Lord himself has told us, and he agrees. So, you know, I praise God for this study. I praise God for this program. I pray that you all have a beautiful and blessed Kwanzaa. Continue to have a great week. We pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Until we speak again, good night, and God bless you each and every one. Amen. Beautiful job.
Hello? Pastor Cook, have you got out there yet?